Keep out.
We cannot believe.
No, just.
Aloha.
Hi, Warren.
It's fun.
Yes.
My parents moved to the
town. You like home?
Yeah. This is the first time I've
been here. No, I don't know.
The way the cold air feels.
It's not in LA, of course.
No, I've got a
time sensor.
Yeah.
Well, but see, on that model that I have, all it's going to say is that the tire is low, but it doesn't say which tire, and it doesn't say what the pressure is, because that's the base model that I have.
And it was
kind of junk.
But,
yeah, but so you put the tender sensor in the tire,
and they break around sales. But I was
okay,
right?
When I come pick up the car from you later, can you explain to me how that works? Okay, all right, thank you.
I was sore the first day.
You did it only once, you don't realize that.
But he said, I was so in pain. Yes. I skied across the ski.
Holo mua ho I kako, e noho I kako e naue nei I mua. Wahiki mai kako I ka item D draft barrel treatment plan for SIHP site. Lima ole walu ole kahi lima walu walu kolu lua. Ahu pua awa ikiki moko kona. Aino ahu nei TMK kahi kolu lua ole lua kolu ole ole ono. Information, discussion, and update on the above project. And this originally had a schedule is determination on whether to preserve in place or relocate EV Kupuna addressed in the above draft growth treatment plan. And a recommendation to the SHPD to accept or not accept the draft burrow treatment plan. That is how item D reads. However, Regina?
This was handled at last month's meeting. There was a motion to preserve and release that was moved and seconded, and the vote was for 6 ayes. And then the second motion was to defer for 90 days acceptance of the BTP in compliance with HR 13330 section E for preservation. It was moved and seconded and also passed with 6 ayes. So there's no further action.
Mahalo. Okay. Being that there is no further action necessary for this council to take, for those of you who have come for this item, is there anything else you would like to say before we move on?
Yes.
Yes.
May I sit down?
Yes.
Aloha, everyone.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Part of what I'm going to say, I'd like to address to Regina. I'd like to ask Regina.
You can direct to me and then we'll.
Okay. I would like to ask her, Regina, if she heard from any of the lineal and cultural descendants who have since come forward after the December 27, 29th, and January 1st revised notice, pursuant to the interest of the council last meeting in December.
The revised notice
said that it needed to refer to Wailupi by name and needed to recall some of the names of the list that we gave to the archaeologist of those families who resided in Wailupi and who are apt to have Kupuna in the area. And so that was redone in part, and it called forth a number of people, thanks to some help from an activist that we know who passed it on to other activists whom she knew were in those families. So those people have come forward. And I would like to ask Regina if she had a discussion with any of those descendants.
Chair redirects this question to Regina. Would you care to respond?
Yes. We have had many discussions with some descendants. About 90% of the people who came forward and contacted me did not know significant information about their heritage. They just had a Kupuna name that appeared on the public notice, but they could not directly tie themselves to Wailupe. I did have one applicant who submitted a lineal descendant claim, even though I clearly told her many times that the skeletal remains that were found constitute less than 2% of an individual, and we have no idea as to the name or even really the ethnicity of that individual. Nevertheless, she did submit a lineal descendant claim. She does not live in Hawaii. She lives in Rhode Island. So I did contact her about that, and I received the application, and I told you the earliest that it could be listed on the OIBC agenda for your determination would be February. But so far, that is the only person that has come forward formally and submitted an application.
Mahalo. One moment. I heard discussion here. No?
I would like to ask if you had a discussion with Kahana Opuna.
Yes, I did.
Yes, and in the course of that discussion, did you mention any opinion you had about our group, the Wailupe Ohana?
I might have, I don't recall.
You don't recall having told her what your opinion was of our group and our intent?
I don't recall. I did tell her that I was a founding member of the Wailupe Ohana Council as well, and that I had worked with the council back in 2012. But as to the substance of my other comments, I don't recall.
I heard from Ms. Motoyama yesterday as well, when she informed us about this meeting today, because as I have on the post, it was not posted for public information until 2 days ago, and it wasn't until she called me and said, did you know there's a meeting tomorrow? I understand that the law was changed in 2018 to say that just sending something to the LG's office is insufficient, that two public notices posting it for public, and also sending copies to people who have asked to be notified. And Anne-Marie Kirk, I believe, is on the list, and she did not receive any prior notice.
It's not uncommon for that to happen. The state calendar is the other repository that is required by Sunshine Law for us to post so that we can have an ORIPC meeting. I met both requirements, and it wasn't my fault that the SHPD website did not have the agenda. However, it was posted fully in compliance with Sunshine Law to enable this council to meet today and carry on with their business.
And it was that agenda was posted 2 days before this meeting. So
the agenda was posted 6 days. That's the requirement by Sunshine Law. It's on the state calendar. It's also posted at the LG's office.
It may be posted in the LG's office, but it is not.
Regardless, that is the requirement by Sunshine Law.
So you're not obligated to post it on the website.
That is not what I said. I said that it was done in compliance with Sunshine Law.
Well, let me ask you this then. Would the Sunshine Law require you to post the public notice online for 6 days' notice?
I'm not going to answer that again.
Thank you.
What is the state law? What is the state law? What is the state law?
Sunshine Law.
Sunshine Law, you're referring to?
As far as posting for public hearings.
She's articulated that requirement that she follows in order for us to have this meeting.
Is this appropriate for this discussion to come through us, or should this just be?
She spoke to me for a moment, and I said, "You can take a moment to address this in an open session." Yes.
Okay. We just bring this up because it, in our minds, because we were not informed until yesterday afternoon when we saw that it had been posted on on January 6th for public notice online, which we think is 6 days is required under law for a public notice online. That's state law. However, that being the case, we think that any action on the part of the council, and I'm happy to note that you said there will be no further action, would have been inappropriate for a meeting that was not properly noticed. But
you're saying, you are, so what you guys are saying is that our meeting today was improperly noticed.
To the public, yes.
To the public.
And you can pull it up on
the state law. The state law says 6 days.
Did we not talk about this meeting when a month ago when all of you were here and we said, at the beginning we said, oh, we're going to change the meeting. I mean, I'm just saying. But I'll also be consistent in, you know, looking at our, you know, state employees, understaffed, underpaid, overworked. So, and you cover what, all of Oahu?
All of Oahu.
Just you.
Be that as it may, we were in clear communication, and she gave internally, not to all of you guys' knowledge, that we have to all say, yes, we're going to be present, and if I have any issue as the chair, then I'll say something about the agenda that is put forward. But again, she has agendized it. Now, whether you saw it or not,
we had 2 days to see it rather than six. That's my whole point.
So you had been watching the site for the whole time?
We knew there was a meeting coming up. We did not know we'd be on the agenda. So the agenda was posted on January 2nd. We saw it January 3rd. I'm sorry, January 6th it was posted. We saw it on January 7th and recognized that this matter was on the agenda. So that's strictly my point. But I have, if you may, I have another question for Jean.
Yes.
In speaking with Ms. Kahala Opuna Motoyama, we have heard from her that you offered an opinion as to the intent of this group, to the effect that, and it parroted words that the developer said at the last meeting, that we were simply interested in being anti-development and were disingenuous about our interest in Ibi Kapuna.
That's my idea. For one thing, and I don't see if it's correct, if she's not here and you're saying these things. I would rather her be here, and then you can say these things.
I checked with her first, and
so,
she,
yeah. I'm just saying on behalf of my aunt.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I would not come and speak out something that she had said without checking with her first.
Okay.
So I just want to point out to anybody who might have talked to and spread that information to Regina, that there are members of this Ohana who have spent 20 to 25 years pursuing interest in Kupuna, in caring for them, and no matter whether it was having to do with development or not, they've spent their hearts and their lives attending to that. And it is deeply, deeply disappointing and heartfelt to those people on the Ohana that this report came back.
It's very deeply disappointing to me that despite the best efforts of this burial treatment plan to protect these kupuna, that seems to me to be not what you guys are interested in. That's shocking, because I started with the Wailuke Ohana Council with the intent to protect not only Wahi kupuna, but Ibi kupuna as well.
So you are saying that you have a problem with...
I am saying that it is disappointing to me to hear that you guys don't support preservation in place of these kupuna. That's what's disappointing to me. And I haven't seen applications from any of the Wailuke Ohana Council, which is equally disappointing to me.
Which for me is an issue, because you said 20 to 25 years of whoever it is. I don't doubt that somebody has had whatever interest they've had. But our council member Mana here has put himself forward to become recognized towards the EV that are being referred to on, you know, at Guadalupe. And the reason why he did it is because there was nobody else that came forward to do so.
And I think that with the republication and notice that was then,
if they were devoted for 20 to 25 years, see the families behind over there, they've been long time at this.
Yeah.
If they've been at it for 20, 25 years, they should know the ropes really, really well.
And I think Kaleo does know the ropes really well.
You're referring to?
Kaleo Pike.
Yeah. Yes, she does. Kaleo Pike used to sit there.
She's very much offended by the attitude. And I think it's unprofessional. I think it's damaging to the interaction.
I don't think we should get into personalities now. It's really, we're getting way sidetracked here. We've got a lot on the agenda.
Okay.
There's no action.
You were here last month. You spoke to Regina on the phone. We meet every second Wednesday. Every second Wednesday. Now, for you and for everybody else in this room, you should know that. Now, you may or may not have a good position on the posting on some website. I don't know anything about that. That's for Shippy to figure out and correct if there's an error. But to get into personalities and saying, she said this, she said that, I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it.
Yeah, and I'll add, I mean, I don't think it has been said this kind of interaction is appropriate. First of all, I'm not sure it's a good time. But second, in the last 3 weeks, as I recall, and I think the record shows, this council has been quite sympathetic to the community, as I recall. So I'm just puzzled by all of this. This is kind of, I feel like we try to be sympathetic.
Well, I have nothing to say about the council.
I'm puzzled as well, because based on the community report that these areas had Iwi Kupuna, that's the reason why I fought tooth and nail to get this before the council for their determination, instead of Shifty making the determination. So I'm really confused and incredibly disappointed that after fighting for that, after giving the OIBC the authority to make the decision, that this is the collective opinion of the Guadalupe Ohana Council.
No,
I understand that is where you guys are, but my job here in the state is to ensure to Malama Iwi Kupuna, which this burial treatment calls for and what the burial council has already determined.
And we have absolutely no argument with anything the council has determined. It's just a matter. And the last thing I'm going to say is to point out the danger. As soon as this burial treatment plan is approved, Mr. Unterman goes and gets his permit to continue digging on that slope, which a DPP has already said.
Well, so again, from last month, it was, correct me, fellow members, if I'm wrong, but last month it was very clear to me and everybody else in the room that the burial treatment plan focused on one little spot, because that's all they were required to do.
Right.
Because we're talking about one set of evening. So the burial treatment plan, we approved, we made the decision to leave the EV in place, and since there was a lot of misunderstanding of what a burial treatment is all about, we say, okay, we'll come back to it in 90 days. Am I correct? So I think you guys really need, your Ohana needs to sit down with Kaleo Pike, you've been quoting her, and find out from her what exactly a burial treatment plan is, what are its limitations, and what are its responsibilities? Because that's all we're talking about. We aren't talking about the development. We aren't talking about the hillside.
Right.
We're talking about that little puka in the hillside.
And we just wanted to be clear that there was a 90-day deferral. That's it.
Well, that's in the minutes.
Yes.
Was not apparent on the agenda that we finally saw yesterday. Thank you for your time.
Can I just interject that I think everybody is grateful that the decision came down to approve to leave in place. I mean, I don't think anybody wanted them to be. There's a giant puka literally a foot away from the EV. I mean, we wanted them to be left in place. That's why we brought this forward in the first place. So, we never wanted them to be disrupted, or that was the whole intent when we brought it forward in the first place.
Can you, yes?
Also, you know, we have the tapes here and the videos. When did these become available for public? Because just because I know earlier there was some, I looked across some information that was uncertain. When do the videos become available, and also the audio recordings? And second, your approval of the barrel treatment plan is conditional upon them fulfilling the AS. Is that correct, based on the last meeting?
Say that again.
Your approval of the barrel treatment plan was conditional on the project getting AIS completed and accepted by Shifty.
I don't think there was a stipulation.
No, I don't remember that.
Was that a recommendation?
We didn't have to go to Shifty for that stuff, right?
Yeah. I thought I could be wrong, but that's what I was asking about the audio and the video, because I thought it would defer for 90 days, which would give enough time to properly address, you know, deep compress both sides, look back and say, okay. Because the state of supervision back in 2012 had requested an AIS that was completed.
If you want a reading of the minutes, you might want to contact Regina next week or tomorrow or some other time, because she does have it on tape. But my recollection was that it was deferred for 90 days to give the developer and his archaeologist time to go out to these other families in the valley, and have them come forward so that they could be here today registering as cultural descendants or whatever. That was my recollection, but I could be wrong.
That's my recollection.
If you really want a verbatim thing, talk to Regina tomorrow and see what the tape has to say.
No.
Regina, how long does it take to get the audio/video from last month's?
It should be on there already. I requested our IT staff post the audio.
Because I went next door earlier and asked them about that, and they said that it could take up to 90 days.
And
then I asked them, if it takes 90 days and we meet 29 days later, how are you supposed to, how would you disseminate what was said, record on video, if you have up to 90 days?
No, we have a 35-day window now to complete the minutes and then post the recordings online as well.
But the minutes, I'm not too much aware of. Is it a minute, just a general?
I have a copy here if you want. These are from the November and December meetings.
These are just draft, though.
Yeah.
Okay. They've not been formally approved.
Both of them are available on our website, should be. They should be available on our website. I sent them to our IT staff yesterday.
What is IT?
Our information and technology staff.
Oh.
Our internal ship staff.
Oh, so they would have the audio/videos.
Yeah.
From the meeting and stuff.
If you go to our website, I think it's clnr.hawaii.gov/shipy. There's an area that has history and culture branch and then the burial council minutes and agendas.
Uh-huh.
It should be there.
Okay, I'll get that from there. But my question is, so if in this room, whether it's today, last month, 2 years ago, when someone comes forward and speaks to whatever they may be, does the video hold them to that and the audio?
Did you excuse me?
If someone comes forward and says,
like a court of law, kind of like,
well, what I'm saying, but the thing is, like I mentioned last time, you guys are awesome, but it's like sometimes you feel like you want to be a court of law, but sometimes you don't, and you kind of pick and choose when you want to be a servant, sometimes you don't.
Something to this. The last meeting I do recall, which I don't see in front of us now, which I was hoping to see, was somebody up here to be come before us to be recognized as a cultural descendant of the place, because that was our words and advice to you folks. Upon us approving this EV to be remain in place, we go back into the community, and I believe the words were, some of you can go as cultural descendants and go to the Shifty site.
I understand that.
And then that's what I was hoping would come up today.
I understand that completely.
And that's the legal part.
Right.
That's the process we're going through.
I understand that completely.
Not a video.
But I think you're not, my point is, when someone on video or tape says something, is does that become factual? Or is it they change their mind? Like says, Like today I said, those are green grapes. And then next month I said, no, they're blue grapes. And then someone said, well, I have the video and said you called it green. So if someone's not being truthful, does that have an impact on your decision?
Communication. We saw Eddie at Haleloha's presentations regarding the burial counts, where it went from 400 to 500 to 700. I mean,
right.
But basically, what it comes down for me personally is this: the best that the Oahu Island Burial Council can do is preservation in place and unrestricted access to lineal and cultural descendants. Yeah. That's the extent of how our powers go. Regarding archaeological inventory surveys of surveying the mountains or I don't know, like I'm not sure what it is we can provide you that would appease you, but our powers are just really limited to just that.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm not sure what you're after.
I'm just seeing a lot of, it seems to me, a lot of falsifying, a lot of misinformation, and it's that's why I said if these videos are available, you'll see that.
Is that directed towards me?
No, I'm just saying, not for the council, but the person we were working with, his presentations. I mean, for example, last month he said he has $8 million invested, the month before it was six, and the month before it was four. So what I'm trying to say is we're dealing with, I'm sorry?
Sorry, just go ahead.
No, I don't know.
I'm just saying that's not, I think, determined. That's not what we're here for.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's unfortunate for us in our situation that we have a developer that is able to straight face lie, and I'm saying, well, I don't understand the problem, it's the truth.
We can't get into that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to sue the developer for saying something, and that's up to you.
Yes.
But please, I mean, I don't know how many public meetings you go to. Have you ever been to your neighborhood board meeting and all? You get people, neighbors, who go in there and lie all the time. You go to the national Washington, D.C., and you get politicians who lie all the time. You know, I mean, that's a fact of life, okay? So let's not make a big deal about it here. Let's just cut through the chafe and get on, because we're running
yes.
late.
Yes, thank you, Chuck. I hear what you're saying. I believe that you need a bit greater support than you may already either have or that you may actually want. And unfortunately, this council, as was articulated, does not have that capacity to do what you want it to do. So if you were looking for a tape or minutes, you may access whatever is available currently online. If you go through it and you find that there is something there that is to your benefit, you could potentially try to secure it for whatever reason you'd need. But in terms of trying to deliberately utilize whatever has transpired during the council time, I have no other good words for you other than that it's going to have to be your hard work to go and dig. Because if you want to do something about that development, then that's a whole different other kulena. Right now, for as far as our concern is, the Ibi Kupuna are safe, as far as we know it to be, and that ends our discussion. As shitty as that reality is, if we stick to that as a council, we'll be good. And for you in the community, you will have to explore other potential avenues. Yes?
I would like to give someone all. We've been in this Kuleana for several years, and I understand and feel your frustration about that landowner continuing to build. My auntie called Alohi, and we all thought that the Ward Village project where Ibi Kupuna was disturbed, and they continued digging, and we didn't want them to continue to dig. She had to file a cease and desist. And that is completely out of the jurisdiction of this council. I do encourage all of you, because you live there, apply for cultural recognition so that you have a voice at this table. You don't have to be a descendant of that kupuna. You live there. You can be a voice for them. That would be my advice.
Yeah, can I add, I think it's really unfortunate that, you know, the permitting side, I think there's an, right? And cool, we have permitting issues too. That's kind of, things are unfortunate that are allowed to happen.
And that is good advice, and we take it.
Thank you.
It's just, if you know the meeting, you can get those cultural people here and those lineal descendants here before you, which we would want to do, but we found out about the meeting yesterday.
Okay, but remember, please, that the usage of descendants, when we say descendants in this room, as this council recognizes it,
correct,
the people there behind you are recognized descendants to several projects that have Ibi Kupuna component to it. Our council member Mana is also very active in that respect. Everybody who was here earlier have come forward. Many of them hold lineal level of recognition by this council. As I said, they did not need us to tell them who they are, but we observe this process so that we can know how to navigate some of the issues and those details. But now you've navigated into waters that this council is not empowered to help you navigate. So whatever it is you're going to need to do, I wish you the best. Go ahead, go look up the records, whatever the transcript that is available, and hopefully it'll avail itself to you. And if not, then we see you when we see you. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Mahalo.
Next meeting, February 12th.
February 12th.
Holo moa kako.
Can we put the name to Wailupi in future agendas? You asked for that before.
I don't think that this item will be on the agenda again.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Thank you.
Item E. Oh. Revised draft rail treatment plan for site Lima Ole Walu Ole Kahi Kahi Ole Hiku Iva Waluha.
Hey,
Ahupa O Kailua. Mokoko Olaoloa. Oi.
Jim Stone is outside.
Yeah, this should be Mokoko Laupoko.
Yeah.
I know Ahunei TMK Kahi Ha Kolu Ole Lua Valu Ole Kolu Lua.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
If I may, I would like to make a motion that the Oahu Island Burial Council recommend to the Shifty to not accept this revised draft burial treatment plan for site 50-80-11-07984.
Are you talking about item F?
E.
Item E.
Because we're not here. Oh, okay.
No, there still is no resolution between the recognized descendants and the landowner. Right. And if that's the case, I would like to make the motion that we recommend to not accept this draft burial treatment plan.
Motion has been made.
Second.
Can we have Marcus and myself?
Did anyone need any further discussion on this?
Last month this came up and I said we should defer it because the lady was not here. Mm-hmm. She's not here and neither are the Silvas, they aren't here either. So
right. And so if we don't...
I second your or I third it.
If we don't decide, then it goes that way, right?
That's correct.
Right.
So I'd like to just be on the record to state that I myself do not kako'o this burial treatment plan strictly because it would prohibit access to descendants that we ourselves recognize. So... It makes no sense for us to grant recognition to descendants and then approve a burial treatment plan that gives them no access to the Ibi that we recognize them.
Hololei.
Right, we had that discussion two meetings ago.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. Hololei.
Yeah.
Right.
Mahalo. It has been moved and second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So carried. Anything further? Not Olomua. Item F, Alapa'i Transit Center.
Jim, you're on.
Emergency Operation Center, EOC Project. Aupa'o Honolulu Moku'o Kona Aina O'ahune TMK. kahi lua kahi oleha lua ole kahi kolu. Information and discussion.
Please. Matt.
Oh, is that his name?
Yeah.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Mako. We're pleased and thankful for you guys hearing us today to talk about the Palapa Transit Center. I'll make sure I introduce my fellows correctly. So we have Jim Stone from Group 70, and we also have John Condry from the Department of Design and Construction. This is a lots of acronyms in this project, but really we're here to just provide you with an overview and let you know where we're going in this historic preservation review process for this project, get any monotony that you have, but we look like we have a pretty good way of moving forward. This is a project area that's had a lot of previous archaeology, including an AIS previously, an addendum AIS. There's been archaeological monitoring throughout this area. Basically, it's an area, a larger footprint that's already gone through the historic preservation review process previously, and now we're just building on a small portion of that. So without further ado, we'll get along with the discussion. This is the area we're talking about here. We have the USGS.
So this is the first time that.
First time we've talked about. Okay, I've talked about this project area a number of times, going back to 2007 for this project. First time.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is the Fosse Building is right here on the aerial photograph. It's a 4-acre project area right here, outlined in blue. It's kind of known as the Alapai Transit Center area. You've got Alapai Street here, King Street. This is the kind of park that's right by the police station that's on Baritania up here, and this is Kealamahana Street here. You've got the large parking lot that was put here originally, and this is the Joint Traffic Management Center that was built relatively recently. And we're talking about this relatively small portion right here that's outlined in red. The entire area here that was shown in blue is about 4 acres. The area we're talking about is 6,500 square feet, so about, a seventh of an acre or something like that. So much smaller area. This is a USGS showing where we are now. The project itself, so overall the city has a lot. There's several different agencies that are involved with emergency management, that sort of thing. There's the, make sure I get my acronyms right here, the Emergency Operations Center is the project that they're building here now. And that's to house the City and County of Department of Emergency Management, the DEM, as well as the Office of Climate Change, Sustainability, and Resiliency, the CCSR. It's very important that those entities, which currently now are housed in different buildings, get together so they can coordinate emergencies better.
What is that where the button pushing occurs?
Is that what the button is
doing?
Forgive him, he's from the other side of the island.
So that is the overall purpose, is to bring these agencies together so they can work together into what will be a new 4-story building in this lot that has already been extensively developed. It's going to be 4 stories, it's going to be about 2,700 square feet, and the different agencies will be on different floors. They'll be able to coordinate with each other, and it will be a much better situation. So that's what we want to build here. If you have more specific questions about what the project is, these gentlemen can definitely answer your questions. This is what it looks like. We're looking from the kind of Mauka Eva corner, so we're looking Makai Diamond Head, and we're talking about this area right here that is shown with these trees. This is the new Joint Traffic Management Center building here. This is the parking garage over there. This is what it looks like currently now. Again, we're kind of in that Mauka Eva corner. This lawn to be areas from April 2019. This is what it looked like just a few days ago in January. The grass is already coming in now. Again, very small area, 6,500 square feet. This is kind of the boundaries of the current project area shown here, is this kind of trapezoidal thing. Importantly, there's this water line that we actually monitor the installation, runs through the project area, and that's gonna have to be rerouted and moved around once they put the building here. It gives you an idea of kind of how small we are. We're just in that very Mauka Eva corner of the larger 4-acre project area. What the footprint looks like, again, lots of different office space. This is the ground floor. Again, there will be 4 floors above this. Just to reiterate that the red triangles here do not represent burials.
I was just going to say.
Those are direction arrows.
This is a different color on those arrows.
I saw that this morning. There's no burial involved. There are some in the property, which I'll talk about, but they're much further away. So those red triangles mean nothing. In terms of the sediments in the area, you know, we're in this MKA, this Makuhi clay loam. It's one of these real interesting parts of Honolulu where you have consistently this alluvium on top and this volcanic cinder from the Sugarloaf eruption there. So really characteristic. And if there are excavations for burials or trash pits, you can clearly see them archaeologically because they're intrusive down into this pure cinder, these bands all
can you say that again? Sorry. So
this is all cinder. This came from about 60,000 years ago from the Sugarloaf eruptions. This is alluvium that accumulated on top of it.
Sugarloaf eruption.
And then this is fill for the parking lot surface, and this is the parking lot surface there. And you find that pretty much consistently throughout this entire 4 acres. So if there are intrusive features, they're dug down through this. You can see them very clearly because they're in a mixed sediment of cinder and
And you said something about burials?
Okay. Well, we'll talk about burials.
No,
I just
thought you didn't. Yeah. First, that's why I had to go over it. So you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so just intrusive.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're easy to see here. So this is kind of throughout the project. This is the type of stratigraphy that we can expect. And as I said, there's been AISs, there's been monitoring. We know that this is consistent throughout the area that will be disturbed by this current project. In terms of the historic context, in 1947, this Metcalf map, we have the original map here and a blow up here. You can see this in an area, there is some development, so relatively early as we expand from Honolulu is expanding to the east. There's already streets and lots being developed as early as 1847. This 1855 La Paz map, again, lots of development here. You have the Temple Protestant, the Kawahau Church here in their place location. Lots of little habitations here in the vicinity, but currently nothing in the actual project area. That would soon change. This 1873 government map, it shows the Cook residents within our, this again, I'm talking about that overall 4 acre project, of which just this portion here is the current project area. You have a Cook and an Atherton residence there, Victorian structures, there's some photos of kind of what that would look like. 1887, again, we're in an area that's been developed. The current project area is right in this small portion right here, with this being the overall 4 acre project. This 1897 Alexander map shows the what used to be Cook and Atherton House, and now the C.H. Atherton and the J.B. Atherton houses, both Victorian structures that occupy this 4 acre parcel. 1914 Sanborn map, we have the Fernhurst residence, the other Atherton residents have been taken down at this point. We have a servants' quarters, auto, dwelling, all on this historic Sanborn fire insurance. This is what the Fernhurst house looks like, some photographs, Makai Ewa, Malka Diamond Head, and lots of landscaping, lots of open space with these Victorian structures there. At one point, the Fernhurst house became the YWCA here in Honolulu. That was about 1920. This is a picture of that. Here we have a later Sanborn fire insurance map, 1927, showing the Fernhurst YWCA. And here we have a little later, probably sometime before 1938, we have an addition of a tennis court. But again, we're just talking about this portion right here of these figures that I'm showing. But in 1938, it was no longer private property. It was bought by the city. And basically, since that time, it's been used as transit-related or transit-oriented uses. It was a bus depot. There's been lots of parking there. You probably remember up to about 2008, basically, there was a large parking area used as a bus transfer station. It basically stayed that way from about 1938 all the way up to what was developed recently. In terms of previous archaeology, lots of work has been done around the vicinity, particularly in the streets, adjacent archaeological monitoring associated with putting utilities in place. But really the most detailed information is from this 4 acre parcel right here, where again, there was an original AIS with initial and then a subsequent archaeological addendum to the AIS and then subsequent monitoring. So in terms of the original project of the 4 acres, it was an archaeological inventory survey accepted by the SHB in 2007. I'll show you a figure about that. Related to that, there were burial finds. We'll talk about that. A burial treatment plan was made for preservation in place. That was approved by SHB in 2008. There was an addendum AIS because they changed the footprint of the project. That was accepted by the SHP in 2009. And an archaeological monitoring plan was approved based on the previous AISs in 2010. That was subsequently implemented as they built these structures, the parking garage and the current things. And the monitoring report was put in place in 2000, was approved in 2013. So a lot of work has been done. I'll show graphically kind of what that looks like. So the initial AIS back that was approved in 2007, the red outlines what was the project area back then. 28 test excavations were put in this area. At least some of them were in the footprint of the current project area here. There was a burial found. Maybe just go back. The burial was found right here. The burials, one was a coffin burial, definitely. The others weren't exposed sufficiently, so we knew. We did a number of test trenches in the vicinity to delineate that there were no furthers, that we had the boundaries of it. And it was eventually agreed preservation place with a 30-foot diameter preserve area. That was, here it is from the burial treatment plan. You can see that 30-foot diameter around the burials. This is what it looked like when we were installing it in 2011. The burials were right here. This is the 30-foot diameter area. And this is what it looks like now in a landscaped area. So that is completely on the other side of the project area along Kale and Makati Street. So not really a concern here, but just want you to be sure you're there.
There's no plaque or anything there.
No plaque.
That preserve the place, yeah.
Right. The project, after the 2007 AIS was accepted, it was the footprint was modified slightly, so we went back to do the addendum. So another 15 test excavations were put into place, and that was here. We eventually went to do monitoring. The monitoring of the parking garage was here. We watched the entire thing. We dug up mostly. No further finds except for a couple more of these historic trash pit features, which were found during the AIS. The kind of thing we expect from these Victorian residences that were there in the vicinity. There were also utilities installed along this portion of the project here, which is within the current project here. And that includes that big water line, which I mentioned before, the big 20-inch water line, which we monitored the installation, which runs right through the current project, which will need to be rerouted now. What that all looks like, if we put it all together, we have the burials here, well outside the project area. This is our current project area now. You've got the different AISs, trench that were documented within the footprint. We've got that big water line that came through here, and the orange represents the individual features that were documented there. So there's been a lot of documentation of this area now. With the idea that the 4 acres was always going to be completely developed, the prior AIS was always meant to be for the entire 4 acres. This is what it looks like a little closer up. All the, the red represents the current project area for the emergency operations center. These are all the different areas that we have detailed stratigraphic information about. Post holes here, the water line here, another type of utility here, AIS test trenches in this vicinity. So based on all that, we approached the SHPD saying that, you know, with this project, it's already been through the historic preservation review process. There's no federal involvement. It's just Chapter 6E. We want to just move forward with the current monitoring program. SHPD is generally on board with this. They may ask us for an addendum to the existing monitoring plan just to talk specifically about this project area. But we want to go forward with that sort of
You said you are not going to do any more tests.
It's correct. Based on the current information we already have, we're not doing any additional AIS trenching, just implementing the monitoring program, which was already agreed to as part of the development.
So if you find some remains, would they be classified as inadvertent?
They would be inadvertent finds, correct? There's new finds that you found in the monitoring program. Yes.
Quickly, because it's an emergency operations center, will there be a basement?
No basement. But most likely, it'd be a. Don't be sure about the foundation. Is it going to be a mat footing or is it going to be piles?
We're looking at a light structure that would sit on just traditional spread footings.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Well, you said no federal fundings, right?
That's correct.
Okay. How many trenches were in the footprint did you do?
So we had this whole thing was monitored. So you know, it's probably a 4 foot wide trench to install a 20 inch water line, a couple of posts installations here, two AIS trenches, and this was a utility excavation we monitored throughout here. So,
right, and so the original, the 2007 was all of those other trenches, the yellow ones you showed. Remember the ones you had, I think the 2007 EIS?
Yeah,
the trenches were many, yeah, in the yellow?
Yes.
The other picture. So did a lot of them cover that area?
In
the
footprint.
This shows both. So the yellow represent the addendum, this the 2009. The blue represent the 2007 original AIS.
Oh, okay. So yes, my other thing was, why are you rewriting that H2O line, the water line?
I think ideally they would have rerouted it to begin with before they installed it, but they didn't know they were putting in this building at the time.
Oh, so that's where it is now.
It's where it is now. It's installed.
Okay.
They're going to have to reroute it with this blue line right there.
Oh, no, thank you.
Just an observation, given the proximity to Kauai Hall, ironically, EV might have been better preserved here than in the church.
Absolutely.
Right? It's kind of ironic.
Kolaolo, have you eaten?
So we will have it directly. Again, we appreciate there's no real decision for you guys. If you have any input for us, we'd like to just go forward and continue with SHPD. We'll probably have a letter exchange with them documenting that we've spoken to you folks, and that we intend to go forward with the monitoring program that was already agreed to. And if there are any fines, of course, we'll sort of let you know.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. As you know, we've had a pretty exciting morning here.
Right.
So I got to be a little bit nitpicky. On your chart there, approval specialty.
Yeah.
The burial treatment plan, shouldn't that say approval by OIBC?
Ah, good question. But in this case, after much back and forth, it was decided that the ethnicity could not be determined. And so
because it was a casket.
Yeah.
It was a casket prehistoric. I mean, prehistoric.
So
prehistoric.
Historic, yeah.
There was a lot of discussion back in 2007.
I was there.
Yeah.
Were you on council?
Yeah,
in 2007. I think
there was somebody on our council.
I had just come on board.
Yeah, who did not think you had enough tested trenches. Remember that discussion?
We did go back. We did add to it. Originally, we went from, I think, 18 to 28 based on input from the YBC for that initial one.
Good times. That was a good project.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to see you.
See you too.
Oh,
is that the rain?